This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasodi. In our Health and Living segment today, we are discussing breastfeeding and should you be worried if you have lumps. Now, breast lumps are usually a cause for concern, but they can be common among breastfeeding women. But how would you know that they're normal or whether or not it's something that's serious? If a breastfeeding mother is diagnosed with breast cancer, then how does treatment impact your mental and emotional well-being? Well, on the line with me is Dr. Harjit Kaur, consultant breast and endocrine surgeon. Welcome to the show, Dr. Harjit. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you, Meera.
Let's just dive into this topic. I mean, I never really thought about, I know we talk about breast lumps during breastfeeding. I mean, when, you know, it gets engorged or, you know, you have infection, things like that. It does happen, blocked ducts and stuff like that. But maybe we just want to go back to basics. How does the breast change during and after pregnancy?
Well, there are a lot of hormonal changes that takes place when a woman gets pregnant and even when she's breastfeeding. So, you know, the cells enlarge because they are basically preparing, you know, the woman's breast for breastfeeding. So during the pregnancy itself, somewhere along the late first trimester to the second trimester, the woman will notice that her breast is starting to get enlarged and more swollen. Mm-hmm. So these are basically just cells which are enlarging, each cell, they're enlarging, they are multiplying, they are preparing the breast, so to speak, for milk production in the, you know, later parts of her pregnancy. And so, I mean, there are lots of cellular changes that are taking place in the breast during that period.
Okay. So when you say at large, what is actually growing bigger? Are they the milk ducts or is it just the entire breast is actually going through some kind of transformation to prepare for this pregnancy?
Well, the breast is made up of, you know, hundreds and hundreds of breast lobules as well as the ducts. So, you know, it's each individual lobule that where the milk is produced before it is transported out through of the breast through the nipple via the ducts. So the ducts do, you know, enlarge a little bit as well, but the bulk of the problem is usually more at the lobular level where the cells which are, you know, forming the lobules start to multiply and enlarge in their size.
Okay. And I'm just very curious. I'm going to go slightly off topic. We do say a lot of the milk production is actually your mental, dependent on your mental state as well. So how do the lobules play a role in this when actually a lot of it is controlled in the brain?
Well, yes, definitely. Because, you know, when your woman is stressed or whether, you know, she has a lot of other issues, whether it's health issues or just generally mental issues, it does affect her hormones indirectly. So it's the hormones that actually then act onto the breast lobules and, you know, the production of the milk. So it's like a sort of a cycle because the prolactin, which is the hormone that is secreted by the brain to produce milk, I mean, it's all in a nice, well, balance in the system. So anything that disturbs the balance and the prolactin levels start to drop, which is actually coming from the brain, it will cause, you know, drop in the milk production as well.
Okay. So how common are breast lumps amongst breastfeeding women? Do you see them often?
Well, I mean, breast lumps is actually a very common problem. It can be anything. It can be breast cysts. It can be fibroadenomas. It can be lipomas. It can just be, you know, glandular hypertrophy of the breast in the woman itself. So she could be already having it pre-existing or, you know, whether it starts during the pregnancy, which is galactoceles and, you know, lumps that are associated with pregnancy and breastfeeding. So it's very difficult to say that whether it's common or not, because the incidence of lumps in the breast per se is similar to, you know, in any woman, whether she's pregnant or not. The question of just pregnancy associated maybe breast cancers, that is a little different.
Okay. And why would lumps come about when you're breastfeeding and what causes them? We're not talking about breast cancer yet, but what just brings about some of these lumps?
Well, like I said, you could already be harboring a pre-existing fibroadenoma, which are normal, you know, lumps, very common lumps, which are, again, hormone-related, sometimes familial. So you can already have it in your breast. These are solid, benign lumps that are, you know, in the breast. Cysts are very common problems in all women. I think if you were to scan 10 women, at least 6 or 7 of them will have breast cysts. And cysts are just fluid-filled spaces in the breast. Again, absolutely benign and, you know, has got no sinister sort of problems related to it, except that it may give you a little bit of discomfort, pain. Occasionally, it can get infected, things like that. Now, the common lumps that happens in the pregnancy and breastfeeding are galactoseals. These are actually literally blocked ducts. So when the milk ducts sort of get blocked for some reason, then, you know, these the glands start to enlarge and they become something called galactoseal. Galactoseal just means the milk-producing cells, which are actually swollen. So they tend to disappear once a woman stops breastfeeding. So they are not permanent in the breast. They are transitional, you know, temporary. They start during the pregnancy and the breastfeeding, and they tend to disappear after that.
And, you know, you referred to benign lumps and cysts. Do you just let them be, even if they sort of surface during pregnancy or breastfeeding? Does it hinder the whole process of breastfeeding in any way?
No. You can actually leave them alone, unless for any reason they are growing rapidly, which means it's a sort of an abnormal behavior pattern of the fibroadenoma. You can get certain things that are very rare, though, something called red degeneration, where a breast lump just grows very rapidly in a pregnant woman, and it can cause severe pain, discomfort, things like that. So it's only those very rare occasions that we may remove a lump in a pregnant woman or a breastfeeding mother. Otherwise, most of the time, these lumps can be left alone. As long as an ultrasound has been done and it confirms that this is a benign lump, you can safely leave it alone until the woman has completed her pregnancy, delivery, breastfeeding, and then we just follow up on it and see how it goes.
And are cancers common? Are breast lumps usually cancerous while you're breastfeeding?
No, I mean, it's not very common. I mean, we don't really have exact statistics, but roughly, I mean, a pregnancy-associated breast cancer may be one out of 3,000 pregnant women. And if you count the total number of breast cancer cases per year, less than 7% probably will be, associated with pregnancy or breastfeeding. So, I mean, in terms of statistics, of course, it's not very common, but nevertheless, it is something quite real, and we do see many of these things still happening.
Okay, and are certain groups more susceptible to it?
Well, it's usually the age group of 32 to 38, which is, you know, which is the type of age group we see these days, because a lot of women are delaying pregnancy and, you know, towards a later part of their life. Many are not having kids as young as 19, 20, in those days. But, you know, they tend to delay. So the age bracket we tend to see is always in the mid to late 20s to, you know, late 30s. This is the common age group where you will get these problems.
Okay. And, you know, some studies have found, Dr. Haji, that breastfeeding actually lowers the risk of breast cancer. Can you elaborate more on that? Because I know, you know, we read it everywhere, right? Breastfeed, because there are many benefits to it. And one of it is that it lowers the risk of breast cancer. But how?
See, I think it's a little to do, again, with the hormones. You see, our estrogen hormones are the cancer-causing hormones. So when you're pregnant, when you're breastfeeding, you will notice that most of the women who have, as long as they're fully breastfeeding, they tend to not get their periods as well. Till quite a long period of time, as long as they're breastfeeding, it sort of delays the menses coming back. So here it basically, it is reducing the exposure of these women to estrogens, because it's the progesterone hormone that is now taking the upper hand during the breastfeeding. So estrogen hormones are kind of like stopped at this point, as long as they're breastfeeding. So that's why, you know, they say the longer you breastfeed, at least minimum 6 months and more, you are actually going to reduce your risk of developing breast cancer, because you're reducing your exposure to estrogen hormones. At the same time, you're also going to protect your ovaries indirectly, because you're not going to be ovulating. So this is roughly, you know, the way breastfeeding sort of protects you from developing breast cancer.
And on the flip side, some research suggests that the risk of breast cancer is temporarily higher in the years following pregnancy and childbirth, and also because of the hormonal changes during pregnancy. Is that something that you see often?
Well, I mean, Like I said, the number of cases that we see, I mean, it's not easy to just make that sort of thing. So unless we're, you know, looking at studies and researches which have compared women, yes. But again, like I said, I think it's again because of the delay in the pregnancies, the age at which these women get pregnant. So the later you get pregnant, your first pregnancy, anything after the age of 35 or so or 30, then post delivery and pregnancy and things like that, your risk actually goes up again. Okay. You don't have that protective effect as if you had your children much earlier.
Okay. So does that mean when you're menopausal, your risk drops as well?
Not really.
That's another, because that's where estrogen levels drop. Am I correct? I mean, so I'm just assuming.
I mean, the exposure has already been there. So that is why, you know, they do say that if you start getting your periods very early in life and you menopause late, your risk of developing breast cancer is higher because the estrogen window where you are exposed to estrogen is longer. And, you know, I think it indirectly tallies with the fact that a lot of times we're seeing younger and younger women getting breast cancers nowadays as well. Because if you see, a lot of our children are starting to attain menarche very early, even as young as 9, 10. They're starting to get their periods, whereas it was not this way before. You know, the average age a girl used to get her periods was used to be about 13, 14. But these days, you see, they're getting their periods very young. So the estrogen window starts very young. So the exposure to estrogen hormones. So I don't know. This probably has some bearing on the fact that why we are also seeing cancers in younger and younger women.
Yeah, estrogen. Can't live with it, can't live without it. What are we going to do, Dr. Harjit? The female species, gender, you know. You know, sometimes I think we were made a certain way to reproduce and, you know, have babies and stuff like that. But it's so much of it works against us to a very large extent.
Yeah, it's all a hormonal thing. So you, like you said, you can't do without it as well. At the same time, you know, you just wish you can control it better, I guess.
Yeah, okay. We'll come back and find out more as to how often women should monitor lumps in the breast, when you should be seeing your doctor when you're breastfeeding, and much more coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Mira Sivasothi. In our Health and Living segment today, we have consultant breast and endocrine surgeon Dr. Harjit Kaur on the line with me. We're discussing breastfeeding and should you be worried if there is indeed a lump. I think Dr. Harjit has made it very clear that it is actually quite, you know, the chances of a lump being sinister is actually very, very remote. It happens, but very, very remote, less than 7% of 1 in 3,000 pregnant women would actually have a sinister breast lump, would you say, Dr. Harjit?
Yes, I think less than 7% of the total number of breast cancer cases usually would be associated with pregnancy.
Okay, and so it's a good thing in a way, but you don't wanna be lax about things as well. But how would you monitor lumps when you're breastfeeding, Dr. Harjit? As it is, when you are approaching periods every month, you see changes in the breast, and it can feel lumpy already, and you start to imagine things. What more if you are breastfeeding? It probably feels even more lumpy. How would you monitor it?
See, I think it all boils down to the basics again, self-breast examination. So every woman must know her breast before and, you know, pregnancy itself. So if you start practicing this habit of examining your breast regularly, knowing what your normal breast feels like, that helps tremendously. So when you're pregnant, I think it's only correct that every woman, before she even gets pregnant, or at the time of pregnancy, when she sees her gynecologist for the first antenatal checkup, that you must at least get a full proper breast assessment. And that would involve even an ultrasound of the breast, which is essential, because that way you will ensure that your breast is clear of any possible lumps, whether, you know, they're the normal benign lumps or anything, you know, unusual. Because a baseline ultrasound will go a long way, because that will give you a clear picture of your breast, you know, and a little bit of a good sense of feeling for yourself not to worry about the breast. So as your pregnancy is, you know, continuing, the regular feel of your breast is very important. Should you feel anything unusual that was not there before, I think it's essential for you to get it checked. just go and see your doctor again, and they'll do a full simple checkup for you, either clinically or even if necessary, an ultrasound to ensure that it is just the normal breast tissue that is, causing that feel in the breast and not anything else.
And don't dismiss the thought that your partner could actually be of some help when it comes to detecting these things, isn't it, or feeling these things.
Yes, yes, definitely. I think, many a times, unfortunately, among our Asian women, I'm not sure why, but many women are just so embarrassed to feel their own breasts. I mean, I get that from a lot of my patients. When I ask them, I say, don't you do your own self-breast? Oh, no, like malu, feel so odd to feel. But it's the partners that do it for them. So I said, that's fine. As long as someone's doing it. I think that's a good thing. But, just make sure it's fairly regular. I think that's very important.
Okay. So do come and see your doctor if you do feel that there's something doesn't feel right. Because you, yes, as you said, your advice is you must know your breast even before to actually feel that something is not right. So if a woman is diagnosed with breast cancer while breastfeeding, Dr. Harjit, how do you deal with such a diagnosis?
I think there's two different things. If you're talking about diagnosis while she's breastfeeding, it's actually it's much easier because she no longer has the baby in her. So it's safe to treat her just as you would any other, a patient with breast cancer. Of course, she's going to have to probably stop breastfeeding at some point if the treatment starts to involve chemotherapy and radiation therapy. But until surgery, she can still continue to breastfeed. But the more difficult part is actually diagnosis when they're pregnant. I think that's the bigger problem because now you've got two things to deal with, the mother with cancer as well as the fetus, the growing fetus inside, you see. So here, I think it's a bit more challenging. And again, it depends on the time of the diagnosis, whether at what point of her pregnancy she's diagnosed. If it's very early, we're looking at the first trimester, that becomes very tricky because she's got, 9 to 10 months of pregnancy to continue. And the cancer can continue to flare up if it's left untreated. So in these situations, very often, unfortunately, sometimes if it's very close or very early in the pregnancy, some patients are advised termination at the expense of their treatment. Is it to make sure that they can be treated right as the mother? It's pointless to take your pregnancy all the way and you lose the mother in the process. So it's a bit tricky. In the first trimester, yes, we can proceed with surgery. There's no issues with that. Only problem is these women will end up most of the time losing their breasts and all their lymph nodes because you can't possibly do sentinel node biopsies, which involve radioactive isotopes and injection of, blue dyes because you've got a fetus inside that it may be detrimental to. So it's usually just surgery. And by the time the woman gets into her second trimester, then chemotherapy can be given because by then organogenesis has taken place. So the risk of defects to the fetus is minimal. But it's still chemotherapy can be given, but still with care. The fetus is monitored closely to ensure everything is okay and there's no issues with the fetus throughout the treatment with chemotherapy. And radiation therapy, unfortunately, can only be given once the baby is out. So everything has to be timed very carefully. At the same time, the priority is always the mother, the safety of the mother. That's the main thing. So, but we'll have to plan her entire treatment very, very carefully, step by step, to ensure that it's all done according to the time and according to what's safe for the mother and the fetus.
Okay. Is there a possibility of doing a lumpectomy or a mastectomy first, which is what you say, surgery first?
Yes.
And then holding off the chemotherapy and all of that till after pregnancy. Is that even possible?
Well, like I said, if you diagnose the woman in her second trimester, then yes, you can do a lumpectomy. You can save the breast. You can, but you'll have to still deal with the lymph nodes completely, meaning the axillary clearance, we call it. We'll remove all the lymph nodes. She can recover. She can have chemotherapy. And then we can do the radiation after delivery, after the third trimester, because there's not a very long delay between the surgery and the radiation. But if the diagnosis is very much in the early part of her pregnancy, then more likely she's going to end up with a mastectomy, that's removal of the whole breast, because then you probably may not even require radiation later. if her lymph nodes were, you know, not involved too much and things like that. So because there will be a long duration of time between surgery and radiation after delivery. So, and that is not very effective anymore.
Mm-hmm. This is such a painful thought to even have to think about, cancer during pregnancy. It's already a painful thought when you're not pregnant. What more when you're pregnant? How do you help the woman through her psychological and, you know, her whole emotional well-being? I mean, it's such a difficult decision to make.
True. I mean, it is a very difficult decision. And most of the time, of course, it involves both the woman and her husband, which is very important. So a very, very supportive spouse is essential. And good family support, background is very important. Everybody must be on the same page. I think that's so important because she can't do it alone. She can't go against everybody and get her treatment and then try to manage alone. It's just impossible sometimes. You know, you have to be really superhuman to do that. So it's very important we sit down and, you know, sit with the couple, which are the most important, and counsel and explain to them step by step which is the best way to go, so that we can try to at least save the child if it's very important to them, especially, there are some who are, you know, this is a precious baby, and you find out a bit too late where you can't think of termination either. Mm-hmm. And, so we have to go through the pregnancy. We have to keep the mother and the baby healthy at the same time. So, you know, we sit down and plan everything with them carefully, step by step. Of course, a lot of emotional and psychological support is essential for the woman. And I think most of the time, if, you know, the partner or the spouse is strong and helpful and, there with her, I think it's half the battle won for many of these women. And they find it easier. And thankfully, in our Asian, environment, we tend to have the mothers, the mother-in-laws, you know, everyone kind of like rallies around and helps. So when the baby comes, the baby is also well looked after. She doesn't have to worry about, you know, the stress of the baby as well and the treatment of herself. So, you know, it's quite helpful that way, I think. So in that sense, we have very good support. Of course, there are the occasional patients who don't have much of that support. And here we try to come in and, you know, help them whichever way possible. Some might need psychological support from, you know, psychologists or, you know, psychiatrists, things like that. So we make the arrangements if they do need it.
And is it safe to do mammograms when you're pregnant?
Well, if it really has to be done, yes, it can be done. We tend to only like to do that after the first trimester. So you can shield the mother's abdomen with the lead aprons and get a mammogram done. But, I mean, often we would do it only if it's absolutely necessary, when it involves like a very important decision to make on the breast, whether we're thinking of conserving the breast or not. I think that's the only time we would do it, just to ensure that the disease is not scattered, or what we call multifocal, meaning involving more parts of the breast than just one.
And how would you know? Are the chances of false positives or even inconclusive results, you know, is the chances of that happening, is that high?
Not very high. Most of the time, our mammograms compounded with our ultrasounds and things like that, they're quite fairly accurate. I mean, we don't usually get too many of, you know, unpleasant surprises.
Okay. And what is the prognosis of women sort of surviving breast cancer when they are diagnosed during pregnancy?
I think it very much depends on the stage of their diagnosis. And, you know, the treatment, the whole plan of management is very important. If they're diagnosed early and everything is done according to plan, I mean, their outcome is usually good. I mean, I've got, you know, quite a number of patients who were diagnosed during pregnancy or breastfeeding and doing well. The problem arises usually in those who it was missed throughout their pregnancy and, you know, lactation, where the diagnosis was made late. By the time they discovered the lump, it was large, you know, and they actually came forward for a checkup. And many a time, some of these cancers would have spread to other parts of the body. So by the time they come to us, they're literally stage four.
Right.
So those situations, of course, the prognosis is not very great.
Why were the chances of missing the lump? Why was that chance there in the first place?
Well, unfortunately, sometimes it is missed because it's dismissed as, you know, oh, it's just blocked ducts and things like that when you're breastfeeding, yeah, or when you're pregnant. So these are the, you know, unfortunate situations where, you know, sometimes even clinicians miss the diagnosis, you know, they just said, oh no, these are normal changes that are taking place. And, you know, a simple ultrasound was not done or a proper assessment was not done. Sometimes the patient also who, you know, themselves feel, oh, you know, it's probably just my pregnant breast changes, or, you know, they don't take it too seriously that there's something in the breast. It could be something else other than just the normal breastfeeding or breast or pregnancy changes. So by the time they actually realize that there's something not right, you know, that the lump is getting bigger or more, there's more discomfort, that's when they come. And, you know, by then, often these things have been sitting in you for the last probably year, you know, throughout the pregnancy, and it was missed.
Yeah. And, you know, it was breast cancer awareness month in October. And of course, you know, I think I always feel these conversations should happen throughout the year, just not in the month of October. I really don't like the idea of all initiatives just focused in October, because, you know, this is a topic which people need to talk about over and over and over again throughout the year. Would you have a message for us on breast lumps?
I think never ignore anything in your breast that you feel is unusual and is not normal. Get it checked regardless. Don't sit on it. Don't, you know, ignore it or think that it's just going to disappear or it's, you know, either period related or pregnancy related or anything. Just go and see your doctor. A simple check, an ultrasound, will go a long way for your peace of mind. As well as, you know, if you're unlucky, you're going to catch your disease early. And, you know, at least then your treatment will become very effective. And, you know, your chances of a cure is good.
Absolutely. In stage one, what's the chances of cure, Dr. Harjit?
Well, it's more than 85%.
Yep. Stage two?
Stage two, I mean, you're looking at probably about, you know, 60 to 70%.
Yeah. And then it just goes downhill from there. So stage one, more than 85% chances of cure. Am I correct?
Yes, definitely. If you catch the disease early, you know, and your treatment is done properly, your chances of cure is very good.
And I suppose we can't dismiss the fact that every one of us needs to know our breast.
Yes, that's it. Just get to know your breast. It can save your life.
It absolutely can. Thank you very much for joining us today, Dr. Harjit Kaur, consultant breast and endocrine surgeon, speaking to us about breastfeeding, pregnancy and breast lumps on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.